This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe.
Gossman's 1-2. Narvaez swings and he slices one toward right center field. Lucas is on the move. He reaches out and it's over his glove and off the wall. Low scores from second. Abreu on his heels. And it's a two-run double for Carlos Narvaez.
2-0 to George Springer, the pitch. Broken bat, fly ball into shallow left field. On comes Duran. He's there to make the play. Ball game over. On a night that felt like October, the Red Sox take a huge step toward October.
Jones and Keefe, right now on WEEI.
Are you ready for a sigh of relief, Keefe?
Oh, I am ready. I needed that. I really needed that, so I am more than ready. That was great last night, just with the doctor order. That's what I wanted on my Tuesday night.
We were bracing for 6 days of hell.
Yeah, now listen, we're not completely out of the woods just yet.
No.
This thing isn't over. But, man, that was huge. They desperately needed that one.
Last night is exactly what they needed, maybe short of the Guardians winning. They probably didn't need that.
Well, the Guardians are never going to lose again, so I think we should
just get that through our
assume they're going to take a playoff spot.
Good
and
point.
It's really the Tigers and the Astros that we need to look at now.
So late night, maybe you didn't see it. The Astros wound up losing, again, to those pesky Sacramento A's.
That's a good A's team playing spoiler right now.
Red Sox, and it was a bit of a roller coaster in the middle innings. It probably looked like an easier win in retrospect than it actually was. But they win 4-1 over the Blue Jays, who are struggling. Jays are only a game up on the Yankees.
Yeah, look out.
In the AL East.
The Blue Jays and the Tigers were just cruising for the longest time, and now, wait a minute.
So the Red Sox...
I mean, the Blue Jays are in the playoffs. Like, they've already guaranteed a playoff spot,
but they have not
clinched the division or the top record in the American League or any of that.
They might be who you open up against
Correct.
In the postseason,
Correct.
Depending on how things go down the stretch. So the Red Sox have two more with the Jays. Crochet pitching tonight, which is great.
Yes.
Then they wrap up with three against the Tigers, who are terrible right now.
Oh, perfect.
Their magic number with the Astros is down to three, which means any combination of Red Sox wins and Astros losses that add up to three, they're into the playoffs. Their magic number is four against the Guardians and five against Detroit. They will not hold a tiebreaker against Detroit unless they sweep them, and if they do, the tiebreaker really won't come into play.
So the Red Sox could lose out. And Houston could go 2-3, and the Red Sox would make the playoffs.
Correct.
There you go.
Correct.
Yeah.
You technically, based on what went down last night.
I would love that. You wouldn't feel great about it starting the wild card round, but that could happen. And even the Astros, I don't know if it's even a guarantee they go 2-3 the way they've been playing.
No.
You know? So yeah, you feel – last night, a lot of things went your way. The win itself, obviously, was huge and a big step forward because you knew these games were going to be – so critical, and it felt like each one was going to be like a playoff game. So you're sort of like getting ready for the playoffs with games that matter to this degree. They win, and then, yeah, you got some help. You knew the Detroit-Cleveland series, which is going on. All right, great. One of those teams is going to lose every night. And then, yeah, late last night, waiting on Houston, that was awesome. That was great. And so now, like, they could clinch a spot by, Thursday? Right.
Yeah. By the end of the series in Toronto, which, by the way, Sky Dome looking sweet last night.
Oh,
they kept showing those cutaways with it all lit up. I'm like, man, Sky Dome, Rogers Center, whatever they're called.
Yeah, Rogers.
Looking nice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, by the end of the series, you could be clinched. So big step for the Red Sox last night. You could talk about it here all day long on Jones and Keefe. Your phone number, 617-779-7937. That's also the text line. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram, Jones and Keefe. You can watch along and chat on YouTube.
We're on YouTube, baby.
Subscribe to WEEI, Twitch, TBD.
Yep.
A lot of ways you can interact with the program these days. We'll get to the Patriots later on in the show. An update, a very interesting update.
Yes.
On Christian Gonzalez.
Uh-huh.
We're going to talk to Taylor Kyles. Film Maven covers the Patriots.
Yep.
He'll break it all down for us.
Gets in there.
You know, we're dabbling in too many turnovers,
uh-huh.
too much on Drake May's plate.
You go a little bit deeper.
He's going to go a little bit deeper, and we need all the help we can get.
Good.
At 11 o'clock, so that's Taylor Kyles of CLNS. It's a Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll do that at 11:30, plus the hashtag Dork Minute at 11:45. Real busy for you. Oh, and the head coach of the New England Patriots speaks live right around 1 o'clock.
What a day!
You'll hear that on Jones and Keefe, so stay tuned for it. What was the best part on the field about the win last night? Red Sox got help off the field. Obviously, the win puts them in a much better spot. What do you think was the best aspect of that game last
night? Well, somebody like Nathaniel Lowe coming through the way that he did, and even Narvaez. Yeah, right. Mo Lowe and Narvaez. And just, it made me think of different playoff heroes is too strong of a word, but my vocabulary is poor. But like great playoff performers that like aren't stud players, right? Like the years where
Steve Pierce,
great example, right? He was the World Series MVP, for God's sake. So guys like that, I always go back to like Bobby Kilty with like some big hits. I think, like 07, I always mention.
I think Kilty. Because you said that one so many times, I now think of that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bobby Kilty.
But like you need like your stud guys, right? You need like an Ortiz or a Manny or a Mookie or somebody to sort of like carry the team. Although Mookie was very up and down in the playoffs, but like you need guys like that. But then it's those other pieces that emerge during the postseason, and you're like, holy crap, like, good thing you have that guy. And last night, and this is what the team's going to be dealing with now. Ever since they lost Roman Anthony, you're hoping that it's going to be Bregman, Story, Duran. Those are the three, like, big-name players, you know, all-star caliber players you have on the team. But baseball postseason can be pretty crazy, and you can have these, like, these guys out of nowhere. And I'm thinking of, like, Nathaniel Lowe, who didn't start the year on the team, wasn't even a trade deadline acquisition. Like, they picked him up, like, after the fact, and then he comes through in a game where they didn't score a lot of runs, and he had, you know, a couple of big hits, drove in a couple of runs, and he was one of the main reasons why you won the game yesterday. So if you can get contributions from some of these, like, other guys, that's how you can piece it together and go on a bit of a run.
So Nathaniel Lowe, since you brought him up, I actually wasn't going to scratch this itch, but it's another nice move by
Breslow. Yep, Breslow got low.
Nathaniel Lowe with the any idea on his numbers?
But like, why was he available just for nothing? Like, right. I don't really get that.
I'd imagine, I don't know, is Washington still on the hook for his money? I'd imagine it's a financial thing, but I'll be honest, I don't know the answer. Do you know his numbers with the Red Sox?
They're good, right? They got to be real good.
286, 815 OPS, two homers, 15 RBIs in not even 30 games. So basically a month's worth of games, that's what he's doing.
Right. Yeah, and like he doesn't even, you know, play every day. And so, but when he's out there, he's been pretty productive. It was funny, like a year ago, you had that run where like Dom Smith was able to be really good. Even this year, like we've seen stretches where like not a regular starter, but goes on a nice run, right? And you're like, all right, let's see how long that lasts, I guess.
Abraham Toro.
Great example. And you're like, all right, that's going to eventually run out. And same thing with Lowe, but we're already in the final week of the season. And so can he have another game or two or even all playoff game where he comes through? So
he's been on World Series teams before.
He won with Texas 2 years ago.
He was awesome up until this year.
Sorry, 3 years ago, whatever year it was. Yeah.
So he's got the playoff experience, so that's also an added bonus.
So look, I think him coming through, especially because he had such... You hear O'Brien last night? O'Brien on the broadcast is like, he had a downright brutal game against Tampa. And I'm like, okay, chill out a little bit, Dave. I was like, calm down.
Throw this guy
he's all over him. And then next thing you know, it's RBI hit, walk. Another RBI hit, walk. Like, he had a monster game last night, which I think was good. I also thought it was really good, and he was involved in this as well, that when Sadon Rafaela is out at third, right? And when was that? That was the sixth inning when they broke through?
Mm-hmm.
So Lowe had knocked in a run, and Rafaela gets hung up in a rundown. He gets back to third, bang, bang, play. He might have been safe. I don't know how you overturn the call on the field in that situation,
frankly.
Yep.
Well, hopefully they'll fix that soon.
But Cora decided to we'll get to that. Cora decided to challenge that, and it didn't go well. And you're like, all right, well, now there's two out. It should have been maybe bases loaded with one out. And now it's first and second with two away in a 2-1 game, which didn't feel like enough runs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, they're going to let Gausman off the hook here, who mostly had pitched very well to that point. And then Narvaez comes through with just a bomb of a double. Like, off the bat, I'm like, that thing's a pop-out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it carried, and it knocked in two more, and they got the breathing room they needed. I thought that showed a touch of resiliency there, which I thought was very promising.
Well, because you started to wonder if they were getting like a little bit tight as a team.
100%.
The comments from Cora about like, hey, let's not talk about October.
100%.
And then a guy like Trevor Story has really regressed defensively. Like, he ended up, he's turned it around. He's had a really good season, right?
There was
he's
a point
been kind
in time.
Of a mess, and then, yeah.
There was a point in time. He made an incredible play in the hole last night,
did,
the jump throw late.
Yep.
But there was a point in time last night where I'm like, is Trevor Story throwing games?
Yeah, what is this?
He was so bad. Those plays defensively were so, the first out of the game for the Red Sox, he short hops a horrible throw.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was an inning later. I think it was the second or third, whatever it was. He drops the ball at second base right in his glove on a force out. And you're like, what the hell? What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Emmanuel Clase. I need a conversation with Trevor Story and Emmanuel Clase in the same room. But, yeah, you're wondering if they're a little bit tight and are they going to overcome that?
Right.
And they showed a little bit of backbone and resiliency to pile on two more runs, which I thought was good.
You know, and it was good to see Narvaez come through, too, because he had, you know, he had that month. What month was it? May? He was awesome. And that's why we were making a push. Like, he could be an all-star. Like, he was looking really good. He was like, you know, could he get Rookie of the Year votes? And then offensively is really struggled kind of since then. It's been a long stretch where you
him
can't.
Him and Sadat have cooled off.
Yeah.
A lot.
Big time.
A lot.
And at one point, they were riding high. And they both had those months, Sadat maybe even a little bit longer, where you were like, oh, my God. Like, are you going to get this kind of production at the plate from Carlos Narvaez? And the answer is no. You weren't going to get what he did in May all season long. But still, when they needed him, last night comes up with a big hit. So just another guy to add to the list that you know is capable, right? You're not going to rely on him for an entire series, but maybe there's a game where he does kind of break through.
So I like that. I also like the bullpen last night.
Yep.
You know, they come in, and Wilson felt real rocky. Giolito was not great last night.
No, he was walking guys, and then it was sort
it's
of
like
a
falling all over the mound?
Bit of a tightrope walk there.
Yeah. And so, look, he only gives up
grinded.
A one. Grinded. Is
grinded
is a good word for it.
Yep.
One run and 4 2/3. Wilson comes in, and you're like, here we go. He's walking everybody. And he's come down to earth a little bit over the last month or so. Perhaps he's been overworked.
Mm.
But then he gets you four outs. Whitlock is clean. Whitlock looked nasty last
Whitlock
night. He's
good,
been nasty for a long period of time.
Uh-huh.
He got the seventh. Slayton gets the eighth. Chapman, easy peasy in the ninth.
Back
and
on
so,
track.
Yeah, they get 13,
back on track.
13 outs. Did they give up a hit? 13 outs, no hits.
They did
last
not.
Night, and no,
no they,
runs.
No, they only allowed three hits as a team. They were all to Giolito. So, yeah, the bullpen came in and was all hitless. And really only what, I think just the one base runner, right? That Wilson walked a guy. That was it.
So clean out of the bullpen. And maybe that's starting to come into focus. Whitlock has a little versatility. He can come in earlier for tougher matchups in the seventh. Cora's now done that a little bit recently. Chapman's lights out in the ninth. And if Slayton's going to pitch like he did, all of a sudden you have your answer there too.
Yep.
Speaking of Cora, he talked about some of the tightness you were discussing and learning these situations down the stretch. It's a young team. They got to learn how to win. Here's the manager after the game.
It's important, and we try to talk to them, but sometimes you know it's not enough. You know they have to live through it. So you know, big win today, big one. You know, the road trip so far has been a positive one, right? We got the big boy tomorrow on the mound, and we got Bayo the last day. See how it goes, but just keep putting up good at bats. I think offensively, we kind of have found a stroke, a rhythm in Tampa, and today was another good day.
Yeah, the big boy on the mound tonight.
Huge start for Crochet. Goes without saying, but a huge start for
Still,
Crochet tonight.
So it's not, obviously it's not technically a must win, but yesterday when we were looking at the final six games of the regular season.
You said this, they technically don't need to win again.
They actually don't need to win again.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't want to throw a must win on there.
No,
but I just feel
start.
Like, yeah, well you also get, you're like, this should be his last start to cap off what was an unbelievable regular season. Like he was awesome. He'll probably be runner-up for the Cy Young, nothing to sneeze at, and then it'll be lined up for game one of the wild card round. But if they lose and Houston and Detroit win, or I guess that one's kind of up and – but more Houston. And if Houston wins, you're still in the same spot that you were, but now you're like, all right, you just lost the Crochet game, and what, are you going to have a Harrison game? Like, what's Early going to give you? Like, it becomes a little bit dicier, I would say. So not a must win, but – it feels like you can't give away any Garrett Crochet nights.
No.
You know, and this is the last one of the regular season.
Crochet on the year against Toronto is 1-1, 2.13 ERA.
Yeah.
And 11 strikeouts and 12 and a third. His first start, it was his third start of the year. First start against Toronto was early April. He went 5 2/3, allowed a run, but took the loss in that one. Threw 107 Jeez. Pitches. The other one, though, he crushed him. He went 7 innings, gave up just 2 earned. They won 10-2.
Yeah.
But both those starts were in April, so it's been a while since he's faced him. Big start for Crochet last night. Since you brought up the Cy Young.
Yeah.
I mean, can he still win it?
He can. So Scooble went last night.
Scooble, yeah. Scooble may be, Terp said this before the show, I don't disagree. Scooble might be cooked. You saw him hit Fry in the face last night?
That was brutal.
And yeah. It was, did it deflect off the bat?
I don't think so.
I couldn't get
so
it. I watched it a bunch of times. I couldn't tell. I watched it a bunch too. You don't think it hit the bat?
I don't. They showed the, I watched it on Twitter, and so the broadcast didn't like reshow it. You know what I mean? So they didn't like slow it down because they were like, this is kind of morbid. So like, I just watched the clip a bunch of times, and it didn't look like he got out of the way at all. It didn't look like it deflected off his helmet at all. So if you missed it, Scooble, David Fry was at the plate for the Guardians, squared around a bunt with runners on base, and just wore a 99-mile-an-hour fastball to the face.
And Scooble, like, Scooble spiked his hat, spiked his glove.
Yeah. But so they've both made 31 starts to this point, right? So Crochet will make another one tonight, and so already has more strikeouts than Scooble. Already has 2 more innings pitch than Scooble, so he's going to add to that. He currently has a lower WAR, and obviously, you know how pitch how they look at WAR. His WHIP is higher, meaning Crochet's WHIP is higher because he's walked more guys than Scooble has. So, I mean, he has more wins, and I know that's not a stat that everybody looks at when it comes to Cy Young anymore. But his ERA is worse. So right now, Scooble has a 2.21, Crochet has a 2.69. So my guess is Scooble wins it. But a really good start tonight. If he chips away, if he chips away at the ERA a little bit, he'll get first place votes. I just don't know if he'll get enough of them.
Yeah, I mean, look, and I wouldn't say Crochet's been lights out his last couple of starts either. But I don't know if the door is totally slammed on that. And keep an eye.
Scooble is -20,000 to win it. Maybe like +1,400.
Maybe the door is not open.
-20,000.
That's buying opportunity.
Right. So barking up the wrong tree on that one. -20,000. I went. What? Give me the Crochet odds again.
+1,400. Hunter Brown is third. They're the only three guys on the board.
Buying opportunity.
+1,400.
Yeah. I mean, -20,000 is a sucker's bet.
And Skeens is also -20,000 in the National
League. Well, no, Skeens is going to win.
Wet that beak.
But, like, if Scooble doesn't come back for the season finale, and he might not, depending on how things are set, he will be short of 200 innings. And Crochet, as long as he goes 2 1/3 tonight, or 2 2/3, is going to be at 200 innings, which I think is a pretty good benchmark.
I'd also say you might face Scooble again in a big game the last day of the year. He's lined up to pitch in that game if they need him.
Yeah, if they shell him.
Well, I'm not even talking about the Cy Young anymore. Maybe. That's still in play, too. If you shell him and Crochet is lights out, that might be the last thing in voters' minds. That changes some minds at the end. No, I'm talking about you get Scooble, and maybe he's not exactly locked in after, the scary incident last night.
Yeah, you got to be.
So, I don't know. Last night was a real good night for the Red Sox. It probably wasn't perfect. You would have preferred Detroit wound up beating the Guardians, and Scooble doesn't drill Fry in the face, and you have a better chance of putting away the Guardians than the Tigers right now because you have the tiebreaker with the Guardians, but the real team to pay attention to.
Yeah, the Astros.
Houston, magic numbers 3. With Crochet on the mound, no matter what Houston does tonight, you win with Crochet on the mound. You need 1 win, 1 loss.
Yeah.
Your win, the Astros loss. You need 2 Astros losses.
You can pop some champagne.
You need a couple of Red Sox wins over the final. Like, that's all you need. Yep. If Crochet does his job tonight, you're not quite in. It's not official, but you're basically there.
Love it.
So all your thoughts, 617-779-7937. AL playoff picture. How's it looking for the Red Sox? Big sigh of relief last night. We got lots of Patriots stuff on tap as well. Taylor Kyle's going to join us at 11. Mike Vrabel going to speak live in the 1 o'clock hour. Plus, we got to get to Christian Gonzalez. Some updates on a setback or non-setback that he suffered. But sticking with baseball here for a moment.
Yes.
We got some big news yesterday that I think we knew was coming, but it is now official. All hail the robot umpires. We'll get to it right after Trending with Billy Lanning.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
We're pretty close. Big night for the Red Sox last night. Sigh of relief. I thought that was going to be much more stressful. The way the game started, too, Keefe, I'm like, this is going to be such a crummy week. I'm like, every game's going to feel like this. Yep. They're all going to be war. They're all going to be stressful. And looking back on it, it felt like an easier win than it probably did in real time for like the first six innings of the game.
Yeah.
And then you get the Houston loss on top of it, and the magic number is down to three with, and this is significant, Crochet going tonight.
Well, it was 1-1 in the sixth inning, and you're like, they weren't generating any kind of offense at all. You didn't feel good about it. You're like, all right, how are they going to score some runs?
And you knew Giolito was going to get a quick hook. Like, at best, you were hoping for five. There was a chance I thought they were going to pull him after four.
I did, too. Like, him coming back out for the fifth, you're like, all right, here we go.
At best, you thought he was going to get five, so you're like, they're going to have to tiptoe through this.
Yeah, because it's borderline how they – playoff game, right? It's like a playoff game.
Yes.
You know, like a month ago or 2 months ago, you're like, yeah, put him back out there for the fifth and like, let's see, maybe he can grind through the sixth. Like, let's just see what he can do. But with this one, you're like, we can't really afford to do that, especially with the bats and the state that they're in. So let's put him out there for the fifth, see what he can do. He ended up getting two outs, and then obviously the runs came later than that. And then you do go back to feeling really good about the bullpen overall. Like, if you know that you have a lead late, and I know that Whitlock and Chapman are going to get me at least six of the outs, two innings worth of those two guys. You feel
that
pretty
works
great
for me. Yeah.
Yeah, you feel pretty good about that. It is going to be, though, piecing it together.
15 outs. I'm like, I don't know.
Well, so right, and I think come playoff time, and I know they still got to get there. It is going to be Crochet. You're almost like fingers crossed can go six or seven.
Yep.
Even though starting pitchers, even the best ones, sometimes get yanked prior to that. But even though Giolito and Bayo have had good seasons, it feels like they're still going to have to piece together the sixth and the seventh inning before you can get to Whitlock and Chapman. But that'll also be up to Cora, and that's where guys like Peyton Tolley come into play, Connolly Early come into play, maybe starters on a couple days rest come into play. Like, that's where, all bets are off.
The one trade deadline acquisition in Mats.
Yep.
Right. So, I mean, maybe. Right. I haven't loved what I've seen out of him recently.
Slayton.
So that's where you're at. You can discuss 617-779-7937. Big night for the Red Sox last night. Five to go. Magic number with the Astros is three. Guardians is four. And with Detroit, who lost last night to Cleveland, because Cleveland never loses, magic number there is five with the series looming against Detroit. Could be an important one, but hopefully you did some work to not make it overly important this weekend. Other big news out of baseball yesterday, Keith.
Yeah.
Jeff Passan, MLB. We'll implement a challenge system for balls and strikes in the 2026 season.
That's
so starting next year.
All right.
After the league's competition committee voted to usher in the era of robot umpiring.
Woo, about time.
Teams will receive two challenges to dispute calls by the home plate umpire. Pitchers, catchers, and the batter are the ones that can challenge. I know you're a fan of robot umps.
Love
you're
it
on board with this?
Yeah, just get the humans right on out of there. I know they got to still be there for the time being. Because I was all excited. Remember when they were like, hey, the All-Star game is going to be robot umps? I was like, hell yes. So like Ex Machina out there. But it was not. There were still humans. And you can now just embarrass the umpires even more.
You want an
actual robot.
You want a real robot
Johnny
out there.
Johnny Five from Short Circuit. I want those guys out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't. It was humans. But now you can shame them immediately.
Yeah.
So they're like, Steve Reich!
Tap your helmet.
Challenge!
Tap your helmet.
Sorry, it was a ball.
Well, you know what umpires have been pissed about this year? Because the challenge system isn't implemented yet. But to enact a challenge, and each team gets two. You really get two that you could lose. If you win, you get more challenges. Mm-hmm. If it goes to extras, you get, I think, a challenge per inning or something like that. I forget all the details. But the way to challenge is you just tap your helmet if you're the batter.
Yeah.
And guys were doing that this year, even though you can't challenge anything, like to kind of motion to their teammates just or just like show up the ump, they're tapping their helmet, and the umpires lose their minds over
it. But like, it's going to cause problems because now the umpire there and the hitters are going to have like a little bit of a disagreement, and then immediately one's going to be proven right and one's going to be proven wrong. And then how do you think that's going to go? Like, not great.
No.
But I do think it's one step further. And with all these replays, the one thing I've said about all of it, like, you want to get the calls right. There's so much at stake in all these games and in all these different sports. And we have the technology to do it. So I'm in favor of using it. You just got to make it as quick as possible.
It's quick.
Yeah, so that's it. Then good.
And, you know, Passan wrote about this. A lot of people compare it to tennis. It's like the Hawkeye system in tennis, which is just, it's real quick. It goes up on the video board. You look at it. They were either right or they were wrong. Get back
Keep
in
going.
And get on with our
That's
lives.
That's all I care about.
And so it is relatively quick. It's going to be 12 cameras all located on the plate. And that's how they'll effectively do their own Hawkeye system for ABS. I do like your idea of having a real robot out there.
You're not going to argue with a robot, are you? You look pretty stupid arguing with a robot.
Could rip your head off or something like that. I mean, you don't even know what it's capable
Just mind
of.
Mind your business.
Greg is worried about the robot uprising.
Could have laser eyes for all we know.
Could be where it starts.
Yeah.
The great umpire versus human moment of like 2030 sets off a whole robot uprising.
Right. Remember the 2033 World Series when the robots took over? Everybody's like talking about that as like that was the tipping point.
That was the moment.
Yeah.
Where it all got out of hand.
That'd be crazy.
So my God, we could
start of a good movie, actually.
Ushering up.
That's a great.
We shouldn't have said that out loud.
We've done too much.
What would you call
Trademark it?
Copyright. Yeah. Copyright.
We copyright that.
That.
What would you call it? Robot Ump's the Revenge.
Baseball 3000. Yeah, right, that's good.
All right, that's if anybody
we're workshopping
wants, if anybody wants to steal that, that's copyrighted. That is proprietary information.
Yeah, we call dibs.
Is what that is. It was not unanimous, by the way. 11-man committee. There were no votes on that committee. Four ex-players, of course, voted no on it, but it did pass. Real quick.
Yes.
The challenges are not overly successful. In the spring training test run that they did, Passan had more on this. The league spring training test this year, teams combined to average around 4 challenges a game, which is what they have, 2-2.
Right.
They succeeded 52.2% of the time, according to the league. Well,
better than not, I guess.
Catchers were the most successful, 56%. Batters were 50-50. Pitchers were 41%.
Pitchers like everything so is strike. So yeah, don't ask the pitcher.
These pitchers, they're walking off the mound or they're yelling at the ump or whatever. Pitchers were right 41% of the time.
Walker Buehler was asked about this like 2 weeks ago. He's like, I don't want the system because I've pitched in the major leagues for so long. I should get outside of the league.
Hey, Walker, memo to you, Walker. It's probably a ball. just probably. So you know,
whatever
it is, when in doubt, it's probably a ball with you specifically. I'm not going to say that for every pitcher, but with you, it's probably a ball.
You mean Walk Buehler? You're talking about Walk Buehler? Yeah, I would trust the catchers. And then there are certain hitters that like we say, like, oh, what a great eye that, you know, like Bregman has or whatever. Like, yeah, I would trust that guy to know the strike zone.
Any guess on a big league umpire, the percentage of calls they get correct? And then I want to hear if you actually think this is a good or a bad number.
7. Yeah, 7. 7% right.
Balls and strikes, 94%.
What?
94% of the time they are correct.
All right.
I actually don't know if that's a great number.
94, so 6% they're wrong.
What is that, one out of every 20 pitches they're missing?
Yeah.
That's not that great.
Yeah, right. And that doesn't count like swing and miss or like foul balls.
No, balls and strikes.
No, but balls and strikes when like a hitter doesn't swing is my
point.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yesterday, what, 1,000 missed calls every week?
Oh, did he? I missed that.
He had a tweet about it. He's like, that's 1,000 missed
calls. No, that's a good point. Like, some are just, you don't even have to make a call.
Right, the guy swung, so it's a strike. I can call it a strike from here. Foul ball strike 2.
The only other number, I thought Passan had real good or interesting numbers on this. It's likely to cut down on ejections. 61.5% of ejections are players arguing balls and strikes.
Yeah, right.
So that should cut down on the ejections as well.
Because that's the main thing, right? You can't argue balls and strikes, so then, but I like how you can't argue, but you can challenge.
Yeah. No, you can't. No, don't argue about
it. Can't argue about it, but yeah, we can go take a look.
That's kind of like Raffaello. Raffaello was coming off the field last night. He's like yelling at the home plate umpire. It's like, dude, I didn't even make the call. I made the call on the field.
Right, right, right.
But like that, it got upheld in New York. Like, what do you want from me?
Remember, it took football players a while to realize that, too. They're like, arguing. So it's like, it's out of our hands.
I didn't. Yeah. I guess I could have made a better call on the field, but it's not me. Don't yell at me.
Uh-huh.
So there you go. You can weigh in on the robot umps. And don't you dare steal our movie idea.
Oh, that's trademark. Sitting on a gold mine.
Talk to our lawyers if you will.
That could be a whole franchise.
They're hung up with other stuff right now. But talk to our lawyers. We're on to it. Adam is in Haverhill. Hello, Adam.
Hello. I'm here.
All right.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yeah, you sound great.
I can. All right. I'm not trying to throw Roman Anthony's father under the bus. Yeah, you must be messing with me now. But can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound great.
All right, yeah, messing with me. I don't want to throw Roman Anthony's father under the bus, but I was at the game, the first Yankees game on Friday, a couple Fridays ago.
Uh-huh.
And I asked him how his son was doing, and he said that you don't expect to see him back till the beginning of the playoffs, if even then. He said that he's not even close. He's in pain, and he doesn't think he's going to be back even for the playoffs.
You talked to Roman Anthony's father at a game.
Anthony?
And hang on. I was about to quiz him on this.
Is that really his name? Oh, because that's what he said. His name was Tony. Tony Anthony.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Good bit of intel there.
I think we should probably trust it.
Roman Anthony, who the second he went down, they said wouldn't be ready till minimum game one of the ALCS. We're getting some inside info that he might not be ready for the wild card round. Also, Breslow said yesterday that he's not even doing baseball activities.
Not even doing baseball activities.
Decent scoop, though. You want to share some scoops?
They might talk to the same people who heard about Tatum doing all the work.
I know. There's been a lot of good stuff lately.
Yeah, a lot of good scoops that we've been told about months and months ago lately.
Uh-huh.
You mentioned Breslow and his update on Anthony. I don't think it was huge news. Like, we just got big news on the phones here.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was huge news when Breslow came out and said he's not doing baseball activities based on Cora's answer last week. He's walking for 25 minutes on a treadmill. That's nowhere near a baseball activity, but it was still discouraging to officially hear it from Breslow. He didn't have a good update on Anthony when he was asked.
Right. Like, if you were holding out any kind of hope for hey, he's ahead of schedule type of thing, right? Like, that's not the case. Now, game one of the ALCS, I believe, if this is to be true, would be October 12th. Somewhere in there. Maybe that's even too soon. But so he's still a couple weeks away from even when they thought that he might be ready. So, yeah, I'm not really surprised by what that update.
I'm not surprised. Again, it's discouraging to hear it from Breslow, who I believe will be a part of the front office report tomorrow morning with Greg. I heard Greg say that today. So he'll be on tomorrow morning. You can catch Alex Cora later on today on WEEI Afternoon. So stay tuned for that. You can listen live on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can also listen live on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. Coming up next, let's get to the Patriots. Christian Gonzalez, did he have a setback? Did he not have a setback? I think it's a pretty important detail, and we have new info on it next.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K-12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now more of Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Burt Breer on Early Edition last night. There was no setback with Christian Gonzalez.
That's huge news.
That is big news, and it flies in the face of something Mike Giardi said on this radio station on WEEI Afternoons a couple of weeks ago. And I have a theory on maybe why that is, but we can circle back to it. The other thing he did there was invoke the contract, I think. When he says, are we doing the right thing here when you have a young player who's about to become very wealthy? What else are we talking about other than the contract, which Vrabel brought up oddly out of the blue 8 weeks ago or whatever it is, and we thought it was weird at the time.
Yeah.
That was before Gonzalez had a injury, and now he still isn't back despite practicing, meaning back on the game field, despite practicing in limited capacity all last week. And Breer hints at something that, Keith, you and I have been talking about now for a while. If he's not back by Carolina, the team is telling you Not, oh, it was a bad report by Jordan Schultz, which maybe, that said he'd be back week one. The team told you they thought he'd be back for Carolina. Otherwise, they would have put him on IR. I'm surprised I haven't heard more people say that. I think those are pretty easy dots to connect. He went there as well. So if he's not back for this game, that is definitive proof. The team thought he would be back by now, and he is slow playing it, if you didn't already believe that.
And also two words or phrases he used there. He said there's no ill will, but there is frustration. And you're like, all right, well, how quickly does frustration turn into ill will?
Who do you think is frustrated with who?
Vrabel's got to be frustrated with Gonzalez.
Do you think,
for starters?
Do you think Gonzalez is frustrated at all? They're like pushing him or anything like that? Do you think that's a level of frustration?
Yeah,
as well?
Maybe this is complete speculation, but like maybe something with the medical staff, right? Like just be, you know, we've seen that play out with other teams and with other players, and so you wonder. Did he think they were pushing it too hard or whatever else? But like that's a pretty big difference. Like. If there's a setback, that clarifies a lot of things because a lot of people thought, all right, he gets hurt, he's going to be out, let's call it 4 weeks. And that's even being on the side of caution, 4 weeks. Well, what are we sneaking up on now? 8? Now, I know he practiced last week, so it's not, you can't no longer say, hey, he hasn't practiced since he went down. All right, he's had 3 limited practices since then. And no matter what the team says, we know they thought he'd be back sooner.
Correct.
Because like Burt Breer said, like we've brought up many times, he would have been on IR. You would have had an extra roster spot, and then Vrabel wouldn't have to ask questions about it every week or answer questions every week. And like we'd move on with our lives, and then we'd hope he'd be there week 5 for Buffalo. But this dragging out process means the communication's been pretty poor.
I can't believe we're still here.
Yeah.
Like I can't believe we're still at this point. And Breer says there was no setback, so I'm now starting to wonder, because I don't think Giardi's a bomb tosser and making stuff up. Giardi said there was a setback around Minnesota.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I'm starting to wonder if, and Breer said he did more digging on this. So what happened? Gonzo's camp around Minnesota is like, he had a setback. It's not going to be week 1. And the team's like, he didn't have a setback? Is that how we get one report over here, another report over there? One of them could also be wrong. Could be as simple as that. Maybe Breer's wrong. Maybe Giardi's wrong.
Yeah, no, but you could see. And, like, those guys I would trust. Like, they've been doing it a long time.
Does Gonzalez's camp put out, you know what? He's not soft, and he's not holding out.
No, it makes him look better.
Yep. And the team's like, look, we were going to go along with that and hold our nose on it for a while. But if you're not back by Carolina, we're going to let you know. And we're going to put you on blast. There was no setback. This is the player holding in, taking his time, being soft, whatever.
Yeah, no, I definitely see how both these stories could come out because there's two different angles of this. I think if there truly was a setback, it does sort of say, all right, hey, the guy is working his way back, and maybe he pushed it too hard, now he's out. And that would get everybody kind of back on Gonzalez's side, and you're looking forward to it. We even brought it up last week when he was practicing. If he plays 13 or 14 games this year and plays like we think that he can, we're not going to be talking about, oh, remember those games that he missed? Like, we're living in it right now, so it's a huge story. But if he goes out and has a great season, it's a different story. But if he keeps dragging this out, and if the relationship / communication between the two sides is already off to this bumpy start, like, right, Mike Vrabel just got here. Mike Vrabel's coached for 3 games. His best player, by all accounts, hasn't played in any of the games, and there's, like, questions about whether it's contract-related, which is also crazy because he can't even sign a contract extension until next year at this time. So if it is a contract thing, and you think it is more so than I do, but
does Breer bring it up, the contract, change your mind on that at all or no?
Well, I don't know if he's doing that because of what Vrabel even said. Like, Vrabel saying that is why we even circle back to it at all. But if it is, it's like the dumbest thing ever. It's the dumbest thing for Gonzalez and his agent for coming up with this scheme. Now, you've brought this up before, and you're right. Agents have done dumb things. They've had bad advice before.
Players have dumb agents.
100%.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But he has missed 17 games in his career. He's played in 20. So, like,
not a great ratio.
No, and, like, when he's out there, nice. I like him. He's good. But are you going to make him the highest-paid player in, like, franchise history, and you're not even sure if you can rely on him?
And look, it makes sense that Vrabel will be getting more and more frustrated.
Yeah.
When you're
Alex Austin watching him play?
Yeah, right. That.
Yeah.
when you're 0-0, it's like, all right, Gonzalez is whatever. We'll probably win these games. Easy schedule. Now you're 1-2, and your defense is coming under fire.
And you're staring down the barrel of the Carolina Panthers.
And you're, meaning Vrabel, you're getting criticism now that, like, you can't get guys ready to go. And I think it's all valid.
Yeah, your defense isn't very good.
Your defense is underachieving. Mm-hmm. Why does it suck? And he's like, well, I don't know, guys. Maybe if my best player wasn't so soft, he'd be out on the field. So yeah. I could see that playing out. Which, by the way, good theory on Gonzalez being frustrated with the doctor. What did he say again when he was asked about what happened with his injury?
Did you experience any setbacks along the route?
So I ain't speaking on that.
What?
He ain't speaking on that. It's not a yes or no.
Why wouldn't you speak on it? If you had a setback, you go, yeah, I tweaked something. I was pushing a little too hard coming back. Pretty easy. Or if you didn't have a setback, no, I didn't have a setback. Why wouldn't you speak on it? Now, he did warn everybody before, in fairness to him, before that interview got going, he warned everybody, guys, we're not going to speak about it. Why?
I don't know.
Why would we all want to know what happened. It would behoove you, if something happened, to tell us, unless there's like a push and pull between Gonzalez and the team, and the team said, don't get in any details on it. Come out
not
here.
Not really too worried about the injury, and not really going to answer no questions on that.
Not going to really answer no questions on that.
Huh.
Tough stuff. Does he play this week?
I'm not sure.
It's hard to say.
I mean, okay. My real answer is I'm not sure, and I don't know how anybody could be sure.
I say yes. Well, no, it's a I don't know for sure either.
You're out to yes.
I'll say yes because it'll be six practices.
Look, I thought he was going to play last week.
Jordan Schultz told us he was going to play week one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, my real answer is I don't know, but if you're practicing for six straight practices, you should get your ass out there.
It doesn't mean you have to play 100% of the snaps either.
No.
So,
or who knows? Maybe he goes out there for a snap and has a setback.
Oh, boy.
Maybe that's what we're in store for. Yeah. Oh, you guys need me against Carolina? I'll start. I'm ready to go. Oh, whoops. I was covering Tet McMillan there on that first play. My hamstring's barking at me again. You guys put me out. You guys did this to me.
Sauce Gardner last year played 15 games.
That's a good number.
So he's already played less games. There's no way he can play as many games as Sauce did last year. And I know there were some people questioning. And he also didn't play week 18. So of the first 16 games, he played 15 of them. There were questions about his effort and like his tackling and things like that, but he at least was on the field for 15 games.
Yeah, if there's hesitancy to not put bad tape out there because you think that'll hurt you on the open market, that's about the only theory I could subscribe to. And I'm with you, Keith. That wouldn't be the advice I'd give to Gonzalez.
No.
But I don't know. Maybe he's got somebody giving him bad advice. That happens all the time. 617-779-7937. It's a Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll do some Would You Rathers at 11:30. We have the hashtag Dork Minute. At 11:45, plus Mike Vrabel speaking live in the 1 o'clock hour. So stay tuned for that live here on Jones and Keefe. On the way next, Keefe, we dabble in storylines.
Sure do. Soap operas.
You know, Gonzalez is a good example of that.
Yeah.
You want to really know what's going on with the team on the field?
Yes, I do.
Break down some tape.
Uh huh.
Real insight on this team.
That's right.
Taylor Kyles, CLNS, is going to give it to us next.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K-12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.